This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. This is going to seem a little bit out of left field, but hang in there with me, would you? There are few combinations out there as successful in a business sense as a cup of coffee and a donut. It is, in fact, the predicate for the entire business model of one of the best-known companies in this economy, Dunkin' Donuts by name. That company, along with Baskin-Robbins, is owned by a company called Dunkin' Brands. Nigel Travis is the CEO, has been for almost 10 years now, and he is today's conversation from the corner office. Mr. Travis, it's good to talk to you, sir.
I'm delighted to be here.
That wasn't much of a thing for listeners to go on, but they will very quickly discover you're not originally from, shall we say, the Boston area, are you? How did a guy from East London wind up running this company?
Yeah, I get asked that question a lot, Kai, and I have to say, for someone who's now 68, I've had a kind of an eventful career. I've had the opportunity to move from East London, where I was brought up in a very entrepreneurial family, moved through human resources for 20 years, and then finally ended up leading companies such as Blockbuster, Papa John's, Dunkin' Brands, and I've been a CEO now for 13 and a half years.
You spent time in Blockbuster, as you said, also Papa John's. But when you got this job running Dunkin' Brands in 2008-ish or so, am I right that you'd only been in a Dunkin' Donut shop like two, three times?
I hadn't been many times. In fact, back in, I think it was about 2007 when I was at Papa John's, we had a meeting in Florida, went into a Dunkin' store. It wasn't very good, and I said I wouldn't return. Well, I returned many times after that, and I'm kind of famed now for my store visits, and it's not only my store visits. I think they're more fearful of my 13-year-old son's store visits.
This is kind of a subjective question, or maybe the answer is subjective. I don't know. But it seems like Dunkin' Donuts now, it's almost cool and hip somehow.
Yeah, well, donuts are doing really well. I actually read the other day about potato donuts.
No.
Which I hasten to say I've never tried.
Yeah.
But the donut business is coming back pretty strongly. I think people want to give themselves something to reward themselves. Donuts perfect. And here's an interesting fact. If you buy one donut, if you buy a coffee, if you buy a sandwich, the biggest attachment, in other words, the extra product that goes with it, the biggest attachment is always a donut. So,
what extra do you have to buy with a donut?
Fascinating answer to that. The biggest attachment to a donut is another donut. So I mean, that is unusual. And when I first saw the numbers, I said, okay, go away and look at that again. That can't be right, but it's right.
Let me take you back to your HR roots here for a minute. One of the things you have said repeatedly in interviews and in statements you've made is that finding people to work in your shops is bar none the biggest problem that you have. Why do you suppose that is so?
Well, I think, Kai, it's a really interesting issue, and I think there's many reasons for it. I mean, without being able to support this statement, when I first came into the industry in, let's say it was about 1989 when I joined Burger King, 80% of Americans started their working career in a restaurant.
Wow.
That number now, I think, has dropped to 60. On top of that, I think the industry has had a little bit of a bad image, which we're trying to correct. But I think one of the issues is that because the economy is growing so fast, the demand for people is just outstripping supply, and we need to tackle the supply issue. And I think what that truly means is some kind of discussion about comprehensive immigration reform. So I think there are answers, but it's an answer which at certain times isn't always politically acceptable.
What do you make of the push to get higher wages for folks in the fast food industry and in your industry, broadly speaking?
Well, the first thing I'd say is our industry at various times has said no too easily to many things. I prefer to think that wages should be driven by the market. We've always been very open-minded to increasing the minimum wage either by state or by federal rates. But I think one thing that everyone has to recognize, at the end of the day, the best way to grow wages is to open stores. I mean, on an average year, we open between 300 and 400 net new stores with Dunkin' alone. And we do that by focusing on franchisee unit economics. And if we don't have good unit economics, we don't grow and we don't provide more jobs.
Yeah, but just to be clear, more stores and more jobs doesn't mean higher wages in those jobs.
No, but what I'm saying is it's no good just going for higher wages and ignoring the other side of the equation, which is unit economics.
Last question before I let you go, sir, and it's the put up or shut up question. How many times a week you figure you stop in at a Dunkin' shop or a Baskin Robbins?
I'd say probably on average about 8-9 times a week.
Really? Wow. Are you getting a donut every time?
No. I drink coffee every time. I love our sandwiches. Our sandwiches are great. My wife and I, whoever's up first, brew Dunkin' coffee at 5:30 every morning. So it's not just the number of times I go into the store. I touch our products probably on average 8-9 times a day. And makes me very happy.
Nigel Travis, the CEO of Dunkin' Brands. Mr. Travis, thanks for your time, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Kai.
The magic of radio means there is a whole bunch more of my interview with Nigel Travis yet unheard. We got into the very competitive nature of the coffee side of his business. Also, more into why young people today maybe aren't taking jobs in fast food. You can hear it on our Corner Office podcast.